This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. And while we continue to deal with coronavirus and its health and economic impacts in our lives, we're taking time on a weekly basis to get the latest on the federal response and what it means here at home. Debbie Dingell is a Dearborn Democrat representing the 12th Congressional District, which, as you know, covers portions of Washtenaw County. She has been and will continue to join us each Friday for as long as needed to keep you informed. Representative Dingell, once again, thank you so much for the time.
David, good morning, and you are a rock for me each week, so it's good to be with you.
It is nice to share some time and some information, that is to be certain. I am curious as to how you reacted yesterday when you saw another protest at the state capitol, again, many without wearing personal protection equipment, and a good number carrying weapons, not only onto the Capitol lawn, but into the Capitol building itself.
You know, I haven't slept last night. I ended up posting on my Facebook page, which I do every morning, sort of at 3 a.m. And it really, I'm struggling now. I'm struggling with what are individual rights that are strongly protected in our democracy, freedom of speech, freedom to protest. Actually, even though I don't want to have the debate this morning, the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
But what you see, the pictures of people carrying machine guns in the gallery of our state legislature. And Yusuf Rabi, state legislator from Washtenaw County, posted a Facebook posting of how he felt and what it was like for him and how he was frightened. It just is in my heart and soul. So what is the balance between individual rights and the common good?
I find it quite curious that you cannot carry a political sign into the Capitol building, but you can carry a gun.
It's bothersome. But what's really bad is when you see that machine gun and that legislators had to wear bulletproof vests and that they were really fearful. So how do you protect those liberties? But a lot of those people, not everybody, but many of them weren't wearing masks. They were not keeping their physical distance and are threatening people with an even more dangerous weapon, which is an invisible virus that is killing people.
Well, let's take it from the other perspective for a moment. For those who did show out at the protest, there is deep insecurity about present and future employment. There is worry about the ability to provide food and shelter for their families. And to some, the risk of contracting COVID-19 doesn't measure up to protecting and providing for loved ones. What message do you have to perhaps allay some of those fears?
I understand them, and that's one of the reasons why I'm struggling. You know, I thought to myself in the middle of the night, this isn't my college philosophy class where this is a theoretical ethical discussion. This is real life, and it's happening to people, and they're scared to death. That's why we are trying to make sure that people are eligible and getting unemployment, getting an additional $600, extending the period of time that it will be there. The system's had a rough time getting up, but now more than 1.2 million checks have gone out the door. We are trying to put money into programs to protect small businesses, to protect those small restaurants, but there is so much to do, and we've got to keep working together. I guess one of the thoughts that I had in the middle of the night was we're going to get through this supporting each other by having a strong community with compassion and kindness, not with the kind of fear and hatred you saw yesterday in Lansing.
It is not just amongst members of the public. On the political front, Governor Whitmer has extended her emergency declaration, and the Republican response in Lansing appears to be to sue her and try and more quickly fully reopen the economy. Now, if the governor were to come to the Michigan delegation in Congress for support, is there anything that could even be done to help remedy the situation in state politics?
Well, I think I talked to Fred Upton, who's my Republican colleague from the western side of the state, every day. He introduced the governor, by the way, at a Western Michigan event yesterday. We all try to talk together about what we need to do so that we do make sure that people are safe, that we are protecting our economy. And I think we need to listen to people. They have the right to express their fear, and we got to deal with that fear and anxiety. But we got to do it in a way that doesn't threaten people. So how do you balance civil liberties with the community good, the common good? And by the way, I think we've got a right to not want more people to die in our state, more people not to die in our communities. And I think the governor has, in the last couple of weeks, she's beginning to loosen up. People still have to physically distance, but they've been able to cut their lawns. They can go out in their boats. We know now that people are going to be able to work outdoors more. We're moving towards reopening manufacturing. That state of emergency is how do we continue to attack the COVID virus and do it safely. You are going to see the slow but hopefully safe reopening of Michigan during this period of emergency.
We're talking with Congresswoman Debbie Dingell on 89.1 WEMU. While we do appear to be flattening the curve in Michigan and around the country, the crisis clearly is not over. Our frontline workers continue to put in an unbelievable amount of work in the most dangerous of circumstances, and still, without all the protections needed to keep them safe. And the hospitals and the healthcare facilities themselves are operating at huge financial deficits through the crisis. As conversations continue on the next coronavirus relief package, will there be more investment in those institutions and those people?
Absolutely. Fred Upton and I led a letter from our delegation saying that we should be converting the assistance that's gone to hospitals into grants to keep them running. You're also beginning to see discussion of hospitals returning to elective surgery, seeing patients. We got to be careful because this peak can come back. Every scientist and doctor tells us that. And yet, we also need to worry about people who have postponed maintenance health care, who are turning women who have breast cancer, who needed to have a lump taken out, heart procedures, et cetera. Those people's lives are now being endangered as well. Even high blood pressure checks, adults with diabetes who need to be checked regularly haven't seen their doctor in a while. Those things, they need to be checked. We need to go back to that. It's going to be a balance. And David, what people need to remember is this isn't going to go away in May. This threat is out there until the vaccine is developed and we learn how to treat. What we've done is to try to reduce the pressure on hospitals to take care of people who do get COVID. But that peak could come back so quickly and we could be back in quarantine if we don't do what we have to do to continue to try to keep that peak from not returning.
And you mentioned it's not just hospitals. We're seeing rapid and extensive COVID-19 infection rates in our nursing homes and assisted living facilities. There are concerns that because these are places serving the aged and the aging, that they're not the priority they should be. Are they and will they be?
They need to be a priority. They are for myself and for many of the around the country, both this administration, Vice President Pence, actually said to me, Debbie, go check on your nursing homes. They are a real danger point. But again, they've had a shortage of PPE equipment. There's a necessity in that setting for close contact because many of the people they're taking care of need to have close contact. They've been isolated, so people aren't allowed to go in and visit. Many of those seniors are also feeling alone and scared, and many of the caregivers have become sick. We've got to really manage the infection control. I will say that a real focus has gone on now from the governor, from the state, from Mayor Duggan, from members of the congressionals on both sides of the aisle and this administration to address this problem and make sure that infection control remains a priority all year and that we are getting them PPE equipment, which many of them are very, very short on.
Once again, we're talking with Congresswoman Debbie Dingell on WEMU. We've discussed some pretty heavy and some pretty serious issues this morning, and there are some grave concerns that we still have to deal with immediately and in the future. But as we conclude our time together today, I do want to take the opportunity to ask this. Even during the darkest of times, from your congressional vantage point, where are the areas right now you're finding optimism?
I think, for the most part, my colleagues are working together. I was very worried about unemployment checks 3 weeks ago. The calls that I was getting just made me want to cry. We're getting far fewer calls. More checks have gone out. People need to call. If they haven't gotten them, we're still there to help. We're talking about how do we go back into session. We're talking about how do we help Americans. And that's what this is about. You know, David, for me, we're going to get through this with compassion, kindness, and maybe a little humor. And these times are bringing out the best in many people, and we need to focus on the best of all of us, that sense of community that we all have the opportunity to be part of and to feel.
I thank you so much for the time today, and I will look forward to our conversation next Friday.
Thank you, and happy May Day. That's a happy thing to everybody. When I was young, I brought flowers. Not allowed to do that this year.
Well, you're sending virtual flowers.
Virtual flowers to all the listeners today.
That is 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. She does join me each Friday to update all of us on the federal response to the coronavirus crisis and to pass along the information that she is gathering in serving our community. For all the information on how you can take part and to access all of WEMU's and NPR's COVID-19 coverage, visit our website at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.